Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
And it's the Brad and Body Podcast. Welcome back, Sir Botond. How are you, my friend?
I'm extremely good after seeing what happened in the game threes of the NBL finals, semifinals. Oh. They were fantastic, absolutely fantastic games for very, very different reasons, obviously.
Yep.
And the women's grand final game one was more of a dour, ugly sort of game. But as we said before, this championship is Bendigo's to lose. And
Because we are such beautiful men, we will always start with the women first, okay? And that's how we roll. I'm going to be completely honest. I couldn't watch the game because I'm commentating in women.
Hang on a second. I want all the listeners to hear what you just said. You're going to be completely honest. So this is the first time in 160, 170 shows that you've been completely honest. Go.
Well, my wife just rang in and said, can you take this outside this as well? I didn't watch the game. How could I? The NBL game three is on, yeah. And I'm commentating it. I've seen the game since, haven't watched it all thoroughly, but I've watched highlights and everything. It looked like, and I'm throwing this to you, 41 all at three-quarter time, 22% shot by Townsville from the three-point line, 36% from Bendigo from the field itself. It just looked like a grand final slugfest, and Bendigo, as we predicted, win game one. Over to you, mate.
Yeah, it was a slugfest, but it was more typical of a dour grand final where two teams are trying to feel each other out, and it's just there wasn't a lot of excitement in the game. I mean, you get to three-quarter time and it's 41 apiece, and at that stage, as a lot of the WNBL coaches have predicted, which would probably surprise you, Brad, that they think Townsville is going to win this series, that the youth is going to overcome. Well, at 41 or at three-quarter time, it was the experience that overcame, because in that last quarter, the players that stepped up, I mean, Veronica Burton had an excellent game.
24-6-5, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Just key moments, Mariana Tolo, Sammy Whitcomb, Kelsey Griffin, and the quarter starts with Kelly Wilson hitting the three. They had been behind for pretty much the entire game to that point, and they start the last quarter bang immediately in front. And, Bendigo looked every inch or every centimetre of the champs at that time.
We've been saying it all year. These were probably two of the top teams. We did put Perth in that to see which one would go. I think the season has panned out exactly the way it should, where Bendigo get through quite easily because they were the top team. Perth and Townsville have a great, do I call it a four-game series or whatever you want to call it, with the playoffs and everything that happened, or a three-game series with the last round and the two. But I still cannot see Bendigo losing, but I do see Townsville winning game two. You?
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I see Townsville winning game two. And game three, I just wouldn't automatically tick that Bendigo.
No, I agree with you. And you think of it, if you're coaching an opposition against Bendigo, right, and they've got a great coach and we know that, right, that if you're coaching and you said to yourself at the beginning of the season, Bendigo are going to win this, they're not going to lose many games, they're going to be the star team, give us one game at the end of the season, game three, don't care where we're playing, to win that game, you win the championship, you would take that all year long. The pressure on Bendigo, if they lose in Townsville, will be massive. Bendigo so much have to win this, and Townsville, well, you're playing with house money. Go and have a crack, right? Exactly. And
what you got to remember, because you didn't see probably the last quarter, several of the key players, like Ania Coffey, Lauren Cox, they just weren't there when they were needed. Nope. Lauren Cox
five
fell
points
in love
for
with
Mia. Sorry, Ania Coffey, 5 points at 28%. It's one of those games, right?
Yes.
You know, so
and Lauren Cox fell in love with a 3-point shot. And when you're as big as she is, you know, don't fall in love with it because you made one of six. Go inside and post up and dominate in the key where you have been a dominant player. So they've got a lot they can fix up, whereas Bendigo basically just. We reached the last quarter and they said, okay, it's our time now. All our warriors know how to do this. Let's do it. And everyone just stepped up a notch and Townsville couldn't go with them. But the Fire should have been in a winning position by then.
Do you, I mean, you know, hypothetical, if Townsville win the next two games, is that one of the biggest upsets you've seen?
No, because if we were talking about Townsend's original team, yes. But once they brought in Nia Coffey for Zaya Cook, everything changed. Nia Coffey is an all-star in our competition.
Yeah, good call.
Play with Lightning. So she said that changed the dynamic significantly. So it's not as big an upset as you might think.
Okay, so game two now will be played on Sunday. For those that are listening, that's obviously in Townsville. And then game three, by the way, the decider, if it goes there, is next Wednesday. So you agree with what I'm saying, but you're saying that as well. I don't want to say I'm the one here, but we both agree that it's Townsville to win and then Bendigo to win.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be completely honest with you.
Well, that's unusual. Hang on a sec. Hold the phone.
and say I don't like agreeing with you, but, I think it's going three. I would be surprised if Bendigo can get him in two because I just think Townsville will be right up. And that, you know what Queensland's going through right now? I just think that everything will fade with the fire.
Let me ask you that. Is there any way this game could be relocated? It's not up that far, is it?
No. And it's I've got a friend in Brisbane who I spoke to yesterday to sort of see if everything is okay. And they said that it's been downsized there to a category one. So I don't expect it. I've heard nothing from the WNBL and neither of you, obviously, formally in terms of we're looking at it or we've got a contingency plan. So I think that game's going ahead.
Well, okay. Look, that's the WNBL. Body and I spoke before. We're not dragging this out. We just want to get through the hits. It will be a little bit less of a show. So let's go straight to the NBL. Do you agree, let me throw it this way, was that the greatest game you've seen, Perth versus Melbourne, in Melbourne Game 3?
I cannot definitively say it's the greatest game I've seen, Brad, but I will say this. I cannot, off the top of my head, think of a better one.
Well, I know Andrew Gaze has copped a bit of crap, I believe, on social media for saying this is the greatest game and he's been around for a long time. Yeah. I was very much like you, and I actually, and I promise you, listeners, I did not ask Boddy this before we came on air, and to hear you say that actually does give a bit of goosebumps. There's people I listen to in this league. You are one by far. You've been around not that long because you're not that old. but let me be completely honest.
Again, twice in one show, folks.
But like I'm the same. But look, I do remember some of those like Adelaide, Southeast Melbourne Magic games, Melbourne Tigers versus Magic game. You know, they're Sydney Kings, all those games I remember. And I try and put my head back, but on sheer shot after shot, four guys with 30-plus points, I was screaming at the TV in excitement. I did not want that thing to end. That was amazing.
And what you also knew, when that ball went to Jesse Wagstaff, it didn't matter that he hadn't hit a shot in the game.
How good was that?
That was down. You just
knew
it.
How good was that?
It was fantastic. As soon as Bryce saw him and passed it to him, bang.
Well, let's stay on the next position because – I believe it's Dean Vickerman's play because I asked around, where did this out-of-bounds come from? This out-of-bounds play that they run in the last 2 seconds has been run, or 4 seconds, whatever it is. This last game has been run three times this year. Yeah. One against the Sydney Kings where Jack White put a layup in poor defense, you should switch it. Another one, they ran the same thing. Golding hits a three in New Zealand over 16 people as he normally does. Yeah. And this time, a great backdoor cut for Golding. It was a foul, makes the free throw, and all of this, Dellavedova in the block, right? What an outstanding play, and to have a play that you have all these wrinkles. This is what coaches misses, Body, and it drives me nuts. If you don't get something, let's just dribble out and do a handoff. I'm not saying in that play, but I'm saying the wrinkles that you can get out of that, man, kudos to that play.
Absolutely, and also to Chris Golding, after he sticks the first one, that he missed the second one. Yeah. Now, I know on the commentary, Andrew Gaze said, oh, no, you should make both of them. But, no, he's wrong, because with 0.8 of a second, all they could do was rebound and hurl it over.
Yeah.
But if he makes that, they've got time to inbound, set something up, and then you've seen it, Brad. You never know what could happen. Someone fouls on the inbound.
Yep.
Someone throws up a prayer. It's a
Taron Armstrong and Illawarra this year.
Perfect. Jack McVay last year's championship series.
Yep.
So it's like you don't take that chance. You give them no time. They get the rebound and they won it. That was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant by Chris.
Someone also said, would you challenge that from John Riley when you really know it's a foul because you burnt a timeout, blah, blah, and he had no timeouts left. So if Golding makes that second one – then he could have had a timeout and advanced it. I'm like, no, no, no. You take that. You have to challenge that. That was the right thing by John Riley to do that.
Yep. So, look, it was. I thought John Riley coached extremely well. He shortened his rotation right down to basically seven. You know, he started Webster and I forgot the other one. But, I thought he did really well in this series.
I agree.
The reason I loved this game was that the final score, Brad, was 113 to 112.
One team shot
56% from the floor. The other shot 50. And they had hands in faces. Like, defense was being played. Like, it was really hard. Like, Shea Ely, you can't say, oh, yeah, an easy game against Shea Ely. Bryce goes for 33. He's at 20 at halftime. It was just Ian Clark, sensational.
Gosh.
Christian Doolittle, sensational.
Doolittle was unstoppable. Now, I actually tweeted during the game, and I said right at the beginning of the fourth, I think Melbourne get this, but Doolittle's the worry. Right. They could not, they didn't have an answer for him. And also, Jack White, I think it was either 12 or 13 points in the fourth quarter. In the third quarter. You're right.
Came out and hit a three straight away.
Brilliant. He played really well after, you know, copping a crap load for his free throws in game one. All right,
But you see, the thing with Jack was that when he was missing those free throws in game one and then in game two, you visibly saw him losing confidence. You saw him doing it to himself in his mind. And that first half, he had no points. He was okay, but he wasn't great. And then he'd come out in that third quarter, 12 points. That was huge.
We'll talk about the Champions Series in a minute, but let's go to Illawarra now. After what happened in game two, I was asked what I think about Illawarra, and I said, I just think they've got to make small changes. Trey Kell and Tyler Harvey go for 48 in game one and go for 16 in game two. And they're just not going to do that. Right, they're just not going to do that again. So they're going to have to change it up. And wow, Trey Kell, that was unbelievable. I mean, we'll talk about Toddy Blanchfield in a moment, but Trey Kell, that was one of the most outstanding, probably first half, because he didn't have to do as much in the second. Yep. And I'm sitting right there, and I was in awe of him. He was unbelievable.
Yeah, the thing was that he was so down on himself, which you saw in the halftime interview. He was a focused man on a mission. He wasn't going to play, as he described, like trash again, because he was pretty ordinary in game two. But I did notice, Brad, that every shot he missed in game two, every shot he missed, which was pretty much nearly all of them, all hit the front of the ring.
Yeah.
And you know as well as I do, if you're hitting the front of the ring, you're not getting a leg pad. So whether he was fatigued or whatever, and then three turnovers of his five in the last quarter, that was really uncharacteristic. So you know a guy with pride and all-star five that he is, he's going to bounce back and
blow that interview set it up. Yeah, absolutely. And that interview with Joe Healy, he was like locked in. He was just locked in. He gave Joe nothing, which was fine, but it wasn't rude. That's what I mean. You could just tell he was totally locked into this game. And, you know, and then Todd Blanchfield, I mean, was it 8 or 9 threes? I can't remember what it was.
It was 8 of 10, and then he missed a couple late because they were trying to get his ninth.
So, look, outstanding game. Let's just stay on Southeast Melbourne for the moment. One of the gracious coaches I've ever seen. His post-match conference was unbelievable. He's right in the game, but as soon as that game was over, done, see you later. If you get a chance, listen to the post-match conference. I don't want to talk about the loss. I want to just talk about how proud I am of my guys, he says. We were 0-5. They literally had to play playoff basketball their whole season. I could not be prouder. Of course, they'll make, you know, slight changes here and there. Man, this coach... He is one of a kind. There's other coaches, but I'm just saying I absolutely love him. He has the time of day for everyone. He's a real good guy, buddy.
And he deserves his success. His regular season record after they started 0-5 and then went to 2-6 under Sam McKinnon. So Sam sort of halted the slide.
Yes.
And then he comes in, he's gone 14-7 the rest of the way. Now 14-7 is 67%. That would have put him into second position if he'd been there all season, say.
You have game three at home.
Exactly. So it's a different situation for him. But what he's done has been outstanding, and I think his team were just overwhelmed by a side on a mission. And you saw what happened to Illawarra last year's semi-final series against Melbourne. They've been on a mission since day one.
And that's what Phoenix should be on next year. Same thing, right? Phoenix should be on that next year.
Phoenix, exactly.
Interesting to see what changes.
Yeah, well, Matt Hurt, geez, the two games in Wollongong, yeah. he was a disappearing act. He was outstanding back home at John Cain Arena.
Yeah.
But you know, I felt for him in the first quarter because he wasn't getting the ball. We're having a bit too much of the Sobey show, and he wasn't getting the ball. But then afterwards, when he did get it, he was like disinterested. Mate, you're playing for a championship series.
I don't get it. All right, so we've now got our championship series. We start on Saturday night in Wollongong, and I'll be there. I'm absolutely pumped to be involved. Yep. Can't wait. That is going to be an absolute firebrand of a series. It's hard to predict. I cannot go against the home team winning the series, right? I just think that having three home advantages, I don't know how Melbourne's going to beat Illawarra in Illawarra. That's my point here. Do I think it can go five? Absolutely. What do you think?
I agree with you. I think if Melbourne is to win this, it gets done in four.
Agreed.
Pinch one in Wollongong and they knock it off in four. But I can see the Hawks winning this in five. You know, anything else would really surprise me. If one or other of them was to win it, you know, as in a sweep in three, I would be stunned by that.
I know I'd probably be wrong saying this. The thing that I'm more worried for Melbourne in this series than I do for Illawarra. And the reason I say that is there is just so many things you have to do against Illawarra to beat them. Now, what I mean by that is, number one, you've got to stop their transition D, right? They're unbelievable and fast. Number two, you've got to box them out. Sam Frohling, he could destroy you down low, and he hasn't done much yet because he hasn't been needed. He played 15 minutes the other day.
In this series, he had 12
rebounds. 12 rebounds, right? So he'll be great. Blanchfield shooting the ball out. Hung Jung Lee, Dave O'Hickey, Trey Kell, Tyler Harvey, Mason Peatling coming in, Lockie Ulbrich coming in. There is just so much. I worry for Melbourne that there's not enough scoring punch. You've got Chris Golding, one of, if not the greatest shooters to ever grace our league.
Ian Clark as well. In that game three, he's gone 3 of 6 from the 3-point line in the second half. Chris Golding, now you'd be happy with that, 50%.
Yeah.
That's on top of the first half where he went 6 of 6.
Yeah,
so he's gone 9 of 12 for the game. He shot that 75% from the 3-point line.
And those shots, they did everything in their power to stop them. So you can win, but I just don't know. They've got to do it for 5 games. That's what I'm getting at, mate.
Mm. Yeah, well, if Clark's rolling, I mean, they actually do have enough firepower, but on the road, like in Perth, their main guys really did sort of do a disappearing act. With Southeast Melbourne too, with their main guys in Wollongong disappearing.
Yes.
You can't just be a hero at home and a zero on the road.
And that's the two keys without a doubt to me is Della Vadova and Jack White. Right, they if they come and you know if Jack White has his 15 and 12 or you know 18 and Delhi has maybe 10 points but 15 assists or something like which is he's capable of right
yeah,
and
absolutely.
He's you know and then they're right in the game because if he gets his 15 assists you know Golding and you know Clark have gone off because he's getting his 15
yes.
So oh mate I'm going to give you the last word.
Well, don't forget Shaley as well, because if you're Bryce Cotton, say you turn around, there's Shaley. And you know he's going to be there the whole time in your face, you know. And you go for 33 because Bryce still went for 33. But Shaley makes you work for all.
Yeah, but okay, so he takes Trey Kell out. Tyler Harvey's still there.
Yeah. That's what I'm getting at, though. This backcourt matchup is really good.
And then massive.
In the front court, I think the Hawks have the edge and the depth. So Todd Blanchfield, like he's his 16th season. I think he wants to retire with a championship.
Amen. All right, give me your nudge nasty.
Well, my nudge nasty is I'm glad that the last day of WNBL ownership for Basketball Australia is April 1st, April Fool's Day. That's the last day. On April 2nd, the new manager.
Cue the Benny Hill music.
So on April the 2nd. The new management comes in, which involves the NBL, because we've already seen it, Brad. The night of the semi-final was also the night of the WNBL, the NBL semi-final, WNBL grand final. Now we have a situation where if it goes to 3 games in the WNBL, they'll be clashing next week in Bendigo on the Wednesday with John Cain Arena. It's just, what are you doing?
Terrible.
Terrible. What are you doing? You can't have great, like, there's not a Thursday. You couldn't have done it on Thursday and Sunday rather than Wednesday. It's like, so my nasty is that I'm actually really thrilled that BA is out of the picture after April the 1st. And this sort of thing can be avoided because it's ridiculous to divide basketball fans that really love the sport, not just the yep. men's version or the women's, force them into having to make a decision on what they're going to watch and what they're going to record. It's just terrible.
How good is he, people?
Your Rose and
Raptors. No, hang on a sec. How good is he, listeners? How good is this man? All right, BOTINAGY. .com. He writes the greatest things. He makes so much sense. Well, I'm going to be completely honest here. Oh, and my Rose and Rattler is I do not want the video analysis coming in to a block shot. Right now, obviously, there was a massive miss of a block shot in that Melbourne-Perth game. Yep. Now, I've got theories on why. You could try and say, well, at the next stoppage of play, you can't stop it right there and then. Yeah, no yeah. way, right?
There's no
so you could say, let's do it on the next stoppage of play. What happens if there's 45 seconds left in the game and there's no next stoppage of play?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, what happens if there's 8 seconds left in the game? There might not. So you can't do that. What I'm saying is, from day one, referees will make mistakes, players make mistakes, right? It is going to happen in our game of basketball. Yes, that was a big miss, but you can also say there was fouls called that shouldn't have been, there was non-fouls called that should have been. Like, you don't lose it in that last second. I feel for Perth. I think that was a really, really hard. I feel for Benny Henshaw. He goes up, he should have scored, he then fouls. Right, so like that's tough for a young kid to have to, you know, fathom all of this. But it's the game of basketball. We cannot get to a stage where we're stopping it all the time and going to the video and all of that. That's my Rose and Rattler. I hope we understand that and don't change.
Could not agree more. Could not agree more.
God, you are telling the honest truth. Listeners, thank you so much. Enjoy the championship series. As we said, Bendigo to win theirs. Boddy and I think Illawarra will win in 5, or Boddy's saying if Melbourne do, it's in 4.
It's 4. Yep.
Enjoy the week, my friends. It's fantastic, and thank you for listening. See you next time.
Come on, Brad. How many times in your life have you been completely honest?
I'll tell you what, I'll let you know when the first one occurs.